one of the reasons that I personally am so interested in strange and unusual phenomena is because my grandfather worked for many years for the railroad, and I won't say precisely what company and all that, but he came into contact with some very prominent men in the railroad business who were members of a secret society. And my grandfather never got involved with that sort of thing. I don't know if he was invited or not. Well, one day, my grandfather was in a locker room, and one of these higher-ups in the company was rushing off to a meeting. And he ran out the door, and my grandfather looked over afterward, and much to his surprise, he found that there was this little gray, worn handbook sitting there on the bench that this guy had left behind, which I imagine might be the greatest sin you can commit if you're a member of a secret society and you're changing clothes in a locker room. At that point, my grandfather could have taken the book and put it aside somewhere and said, well, I'll give this to the guy later, or he could have taken it. Well, he chose to take it. So my grandfather took this book, and he opened this little book up, and I mean, it's an amazing tome. It's a book of rituals for a secret society, and I don't know precisely what kind of society this is, because there are, it's very vague in some regards, but it's extremely detailed in others. And my grandfather read this book, and he didn't thoroughly understand it, and so he ended up giving it to my father. And my father read it, and my father didn't know what to make of it. And when I was a teenager, my father gave this book to me. And so I kept this book for a long time, and eventually I put it elsewhere. It's not in my possession right now. I wanted it to be somewhere very safe.
Okay.
And this was a kind of a prized possession for me because it was symbolic, because it was rare, because it was weird. It was some kind of forbidden knowledge. And the idea of me scanning in some pages from this book and putting them on the internet a year ago would have seemed insane. But because that I'm doing these segments with you, I see this as an opportunity to try to put information out there that I have sort of reached a dead end on, and see if other people can look at it and give me feedback. And so, believe it or not, if you follow that link at Coast to Coast AM and go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, and there is no period after the P, go to joshuapwarren.com, you will see some of these pages that I've scanned in from this secret society book. It's got diagrams of altars and ritualistic setups. It's got information about, I think I scanned maybe 10 pages in.
And why are these societies so whacked out most of the time, Joshua?
Well, that's a great question, because you hear these stories about people like George H.W. Bush, lying in a coffin, for example, naked and confessing all of his darkest secrets and so on. I think that the only way these secret societies keep you in line is by potentially blackmailing you, because there are things, it's difficult to buy a person who might become rich or is already rich or is part of a rich family, but if that person is ashamed of things that he or she has done, that is the easiest way to sort of control them. And I think that's what we see happen a lot in politics today. One of the reasons our politics are full of corrupt people is because in order to get the money to run for office, I think you have to be a corruptible person, because blackmail is the only way that you can be controlled. And if they give you billions of dollars, some corporation, some special interest group to run, they want to know that you're going to do what you have said you will do for that company, and blackmail is the best way to do it. And so a lot of these things are designed to humiliate and shame you. It's also very dramatic, of course, the idea of making sure that a person realizes they are surrounded by a power that's great enough to humiliate them.
Well, and in many cases, they can.
Yeah, and they certainly do. I mean, it's always difficult to discern between, coincidence And but, you know, as we've talked about, there's no reason to believe there's a lot of coincidence. But you see time and time again, a politician like Mark Sanford, for example, who was about to step out and to do something that is getting some political support, in his case, trying to uphold the sovereignty of South Carolina and to create a lot of friction for the strings attached to the stimulus bill proposals. And then the next thing you know, oh, this guy's having an affair. He's been having an affair for a long time, but now it comes out, you know. So maybe, you know, that's just the way things have naturally flowed, but you see this sort of thing with politicians all the time.